All right, we're continuing in our study of Ephesians, and we've finally come to that text that all of you parents were longing for us to get to. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy a long life on the earth. Some years ago, Reader's Digest had this entry in it. A friend often told me about the problems he had getting his son to clean his room. The son would always agree to tidy up, but then wouldn't follow through. After high school, the young man joined the Marine Corps. When he came home on leave after basic training, his father asked him what he had learned in the service. Dad, he said, I learned what now means. Also, Roger Staubach, who led the Dallas Cowboys to the Super Bowl championship back in 71, admitted that his position as quarterback, who didn't call his own plays, was very difficult. Landry would send in every play, and Staubach, unless it was an absolute emergency, had to call that play. And, Landry told him when to pass, when to run, when to do this. And he considered Coach Landry a football genius. But yet he said his pride made him believe that I ought to be able to run my own team. But he said, finally, I faced up to the issue of obedience. And once I learned to obey, there was harmony, fulfillment, and victory. A pretty good lesson. Now, what we have here in verse 1 of chapter 6 is a clear command. And kids, we're going to do a little thing for you in a little bit here like we usually do, but this whole sermon is for you to listen to. So don't check out, okay? Keep listening. Clear command. Paul says, children. So his subject are clear. And what they are to do is clear. He says, children, obey your parents. Plain and simple commands in Scripture are easy to understand, but you know what we do with stuff that's easy to understand? We put a whole lot of time into figuring out ways to weasel around it so that we don't have to do the clear thing that's stated in Scripture. So kids, God is saying here to you, through Paul, that you are to obey your parents. You must do it, and not to obey them is to sin against God. It's that simple. It's that clear. Listen to this horrible list of sins in Romans 1. But yet, right in the middle of it, Paul includes disobeying parents. Listen to this. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They're gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but they approve of those who practice them. So being disobedient, grumbling and complaining, or talking back and freaking out, you know. And you've all seen these kind of things. A kid is told something to do, you know. And they might go do it, or you get the others who are a little more demonstrative, you know, or plain out will not do it. No, I'm not doing that. We've seen those kinds of things, haven't we? Maybe you've seen it in yourself. And that's listed here by Paul with all kinds of other horrible sins. It's not something just to pass over lightly. Disobedience to parents is serious stuff. Now, there's probably a lot more reasons, but there's three reasons that go along with this. The primary reason for obeying is because God says to do it. But your parents have real authority, and it's clear in Scripture that parents have authority to govern their own children. And Paul affirms it here in our text, but it's spoken of elsewhere throughout Scripture. But you know what? We often resist or chafe at authority. We don't like being told what to do. We don't like someone else controlling how our lives go because we want to do what we please. We want to do what we want to do when we want to do it. And that's part of what it means to be a sinner. And it's the sin that's pushing its way out into our lives when we have those kinds of attitudes. Now, the world really couldn't function properly without certain people being in positions of authority so that things work smoothly. We have to have rules, and we have to have people who see to it that those rules are enforced, or life would just be nuts. I remember as a kid, we used to have these pickup games of softball. There was a factory near where I grew up, and there was a big parking lot. And after the workday was over, great place to play softball, except you didn't want to slide into base. It ripped your knees up. But we'd get into these softball games, and without an umpire or anything like that, you know how it goes. Somebody would get to base, and the guy, the first baseman, out! Well, is that guy going to take that for an answer? No, he's going to come back. No, I was safe. Nah, you were out. Safe, out. You know, and you could hear us, you know, three blocks away, probably screaming at each other, insisting that our way was right. Now, sometimes it actually led to the end of the game. One guy get mad, he'd go home. Other times we were a little more civil, where we'd do that thing with the bat. You know, you throw it to another guy, and you that kind of thing. We'd decide that way. But what if the world was like that? That there was no one there to decide issues, no one to lay out the rules and make sure the rules were followed. Life would be chaos. It'd be anarchy. We'd be acting like a pack of animals, and we'd each be out trying to get our own way, and there wouldn't be anybody available to make us stop. So God puts parents in a place of authority so that children will have a loving guide and authority to help control their lives. King Solomon in Proverbs 22:15 said this, "Folly or foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it from him." Secondly, parents have responsibility. Parents have a responsibility for their kids. In the book of 1 Samuel, we read about a guy named Eli. He was a priest and a godly man, but he had one major fault. He never properly dealt with his kids. He had two sons that were really bad guys. They were functioning as priests also, and people would bring their sacrifices to the tabernacle. They'd take the parts of the sacrifice that belonged to the Lord. That might not seem like a big thing to us, but that was a really big thing. You just didn't do that. Plus, they were practicing immorality right at the door of the tabernacle. Now, apparently, from what we can tell from the story, Eli would talk to them from time to time. You know, well, now, boys, you shouldn't be doing that sort of thing. But he never really did anything to stop that bad situation. It was his responsibility to keep the house of God pure, but he didn't do it. What he should have done is kick out his two sons from being priests, or maybe even them turn them over to the, well, they didn't have police back then, but kind of to the police to be punished for their sins. But he didn't do that. Now, parents, we're going to talk to you more next week, but you need to take up your responsibilities for your kids, especially when they're young. And kids, if your parents do not work at controlling and restraining you, making you do the right thing, if they don't do that, then they are sinning against God. So it's very important that they do that. Thirdly, parents have experience. Now, if you wanted to learn how to play shortstop really well, would you come talk to me or would you talk to Cal Ripken Jr.? Well, if you're smart, you'd talk to Ripken, not me. Why? Because he played that position at the highest level for a whole lot of years, and I never did. Even in pickup games, I don't know that I ever played shortstop. I was usually first baseman because I can't play very well. And that's where the loafers go. He would know what needs to be done. He would know how to improve your game. He would know all of those kinds of things. And I wouldn't. So believe it or not, kids, your parents have experience. They've lived life longer than you have. They have seen things come and go. They've seen what kinds of things work and what kinds of things are a big waste of time. They also, at least in some areas of life, still know more than you do. Even though you might be gaining on them, but they probably know more than you do, at least in most aspects of life. They also know that following childish notions and feelings can lead to all kinds of problems and even disaster, because they've lived through it. Listen again to what Solomon says in Proverbs. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, don't give in to them. In chapter 2, he goes on to say, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Now, something happens as we grow. And it seems that something happens, especially when you get into high school. So perk up, you high schoolers. We hit high school and we tend to think, we know. We understand how the world works. We understand human relationships. We got it. We know all this stuff. But just because you arrived at high school does not mean that your wisdom surpasses all others. God gave you parents because you still, believe it or not, you still live with a certain amount of deception and a certain amount of things that you don't know. And he gave you parents to work with you and help you through that transition until you acquire the wisdom necessary to be out there on your own. So Paul is really trying to communicate these things clearly to us, that it's important for us to obey. And through that, we learn some wisdom. All right, here we go, kids, my typical thing. Got to walk down here for some reason. I'm going to just throw that on the floor there. Now, if I were to say to you, hey, would you mind, could you do me a favor and pick that up for me? Probably most of you would be inclined to do that, right? You say, okay, the old man needs some help. I'll go help him out, okay? So you'd pick that up. But what if I threw it down there and said, hey, pick that up? But I'm the one who threw it there. Would you be, you might pick it up, but would you want to? Or if I said, pick that up, you filthy slob, you'd be even less inclined to want to, right? So it is important, and we'll be talking, like I said, to parents next week. It's important how we say things. But you know what? If I were your parent and I said to you, pick that up, you filthy slob, what do you think God expects of you? No! Think that's what he expects? Or picking it up? He expects you to pick it up. Your parents will fail. They will say some things, perhaps, that are unkind or unjust. But Paul doesn't lay that out as an excuse for not obeying. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So even if they don't ask so well, your obligation is still to obey. All right? Now we get to an interesting and I'm sure controversial with the position I'm going to take aspect of this particular verse. And so as to throw the responsibility of the controversy on someone else, I'm going to read a long quote from Lee Irons, who's a favorite of mine. But this whole thing where he cites the Old Testament, I think Irons has a good take on it and a good explanation of it. So if you want to follow along on the sheet in your bulletin, it's a lengthy quote. I apologize for that, but I think he nails it pretty well. If you're reading the Bible and come across a command, you have to ask yourself, which covenant is this command functioning in? If you are not a party to that covenant, the stipulation does not bind you directly. If you are a Christian, you're not bound by any of the specifics of the stipulations of the Mosaic covenant. However, a particular command in a covenant that you are not party to may be grounded in God's eternal moral will. And thus, you should expect to find that commandment republished in the covenant you are party to. The example he gives is our verse. The fifth commandment obviously functioned within the Mosaic covenant. The fact that keepers of this commandment were promised long life in the land of Canaan demonstrates this. Yet it is inherently right in the nature of things for children to obey your parents. Thus, when you come to the New Testament, expect to find that principle taught there in New Covenant form, like in Ephesians 6:1-4. However, the nature of that obedience, as well as the promise of long life, will have to be transformed to fit the New Covenant, where some obedient children do not prosper in this life, and where the land is fulfilled in the new heavens and the new earth. The fifth commandment, per se, is obviously not directly binding on the new covenant people of God. If you're not, if you're not sure, just ask yourself, do Christian children in Tel Aviv live any longer than non-Christian children? Are obedient children who happen to live in Kansas missing out? Nevertheless, the fifth commandment enshrined a lasting principle of the moral will of God, appropriate to Israel's particular covenant circumstances prior to the coming of Christ. Therefore, we are not surprised when we come to the New Testament and we read that Christian children ought to obey their parents in the Lord. But neither are we surprised when we discover that the particular covenantal garb of the fifth commandment has been altered in light of the new covenant circumstances of the people of God after the coming of Christ. So, Paul is pointing out that it was right under the structures of the old covenant to obey your parents, and because it's part of the moral will of God, it is still right in the new covenant to obey your parents. Those trappings, though, of promising long life, etc., for that obedience, do not necessarily transfer over. There's a book, it's heavy, heavy reading, called A Token for Children, written by Cotton Mather and some other guy, I forget who. But it's an account, just a page or two on each of these children, Puritan children, who died in childhood, and speaks of their faith and their love for Christ and everything else. We would say, is God lying? Well, no, that pledge of life in the land was exactly that, life in the land. The old covenant was enforced by God for the purpose of sustaining that land concept. In the new covenant, that is not the case. So, why does Paul bring it in here? To show that it was right then, and it's right now, for you to obey your parents. Then he says, obey them in the Lord. The idea of obeying in the Lord is a very important one. It seems that we must always follow what God says. And if your parents tell you to do something that is wrong, you must disobey them, so that you can obey God. Remember Peter and John? They were told, after they healed that man, they were called in by the authorities, and they were told never to go out and preach in the name of Jesus again. Remember what they said? No, we must obey God rather than men. Now, most of the time, you kids will not be put in that position. Your parents normally aren't out there telling you to go rob the 7-Eleven or something like that. Okay, they're not telling you to do wrong things. But let's say it does happen. They tell you to do something that's wrong. Then you have to disobey them in order to obey God. It's that simple. But that's the only exception that's allowed. The only time that you're allowed to disobey them is when to obey them would be to disobey God. You follow that? So you need to obey God rather than your parents when your parents are telling you to do something that's wrong. But usually the issue won't be something like that. Usually the issue will be that you just don't want to for one reason or another. And there's as many different reasons to that as there are people in this room and maybe even more. But you may want to disobey because you just don't like doing that thing, whatever it is. Or you're embarrassed to do that thing. What if your friends would see you doing that? You know, can't do that. So you disobey out of embarrassment. Or you think it's unfair that someone else ought to be doing it. Well, what about... Yeah, all those kinds of statements. You know, you think a brother or a sister ought to be doing it rather than you. Or you think it's beneath you. Well, I shouldn't have to do that kind of thing. Or you don't like how you feel when you do it, whatever that means. Or you don't want to because you're mad at your parents and you just don't want to do anything they say right now. That one fits most of our feet quite often, probably. And there's any amount of other excuses you can come up with. None of these is okay. Paul does not allow any of these as real reasons not to obey. You must obey unless your parents would make you disobey God by doing what they said. There's no other reason, period. Now, step back, and some of us may have to go back quite a few years to remember our own childhood when we were living under the roof of our folks. We failed, didn't we? We failed at this. You kids sitting out there now, you're failing at this. We all have failed at proper obedience of God's proper authorities in our lives. And now the fact that... that we fail is no reason to just pass it off and say, well, it doesn't matter that I fail. Yes, it does. Something else. The fact that you didn't get caught doesn't make it okay either. Some of you want to sneak around and do things that you know your parents are opposed to. And you figure, I didn't get caught. It's okay. No, it's not okay. That is so wrong, it's hard to describe. That's not anywhere close to obedience. So, your parents have failed. You have failed. And we've all failed in that way too. We've sneaked around and gotten away with something and we tend to think then it's okay. It's not okay. We are disobedient people. From the beginning of our lives till the day we die, we disobey in one way or another. And that's a huge, big pile of sin. Except for Jesus. Jesus always obeyed. He obeyed his earthly parents, but more importantly, he obeyed his heavenly Father without exception. He said that even the words that he spoke were words that his Father gave him. And because he did that, because he always obeyed, he is able to save us. If your faith and trust is in him, then he gives you that obedience to be yours. You can stand before God the Father accepted because he regards you as having obeyed just as much and as well and as perfectly as Jesus did. Jesus died to pay for your disobedience, and then he gives you all of his obedience so you can be accepted. I wonder if Paul might have had some of this in mind also when he said, in the Lord. Since we are in him, united to him, therefore we are united to all of his obedience. And we ought to obey the authorities over us because we are, by our position, people who are obeyers. But what is clear is that we ought to obey. What is also clear is we haven't, but that Christ has indeed obeyed for us so that we are fully accepted through him as though we had obeyed. if your faith is in Him as your Redeemer. So trust Christ. Trust Him with all your disobedience. And trust Him to lead you slowly out of that disobedience to a more obedient place in your life. The key is trusting Christ. Believe Him. Trust Him. Rest in Him. Now let's come and meet with Him at His table.